It's said that humans, as well as the vast majority of life as we understand it, are composed almost entirely of water. Some estimate that it ranges anywhere from 60 to 90% of your body is water. Now, let me tell you about that. Without a constant and secure supply of water, life will not continue. If our bodies become dehydrated, we can die. We can live without food literally for weeks, but we can only live days without water. One of the problems that my aunt was having is that she was dehydrating and didn't know it. One of the problems that Ralph Cantor was having so severely, and the hospital sent him back home, he was almost entirely dehydrated and nearly died. Let me tell you one more time, if our bodies become dehydrated, we can die. We can live without food for literally weeks, but without water only days. Now, God has designed our bodies to need water in order to sustain life. Therefore, it should be no surprise to us that the Bible uses the same analogy of spiritual life needing living water to sustain it. We need living water to literally be sustained. In Revelation chapter 21, let me point you right back to our text, Revelation 21 and verse number 6. It says there, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." A good question to ask might be, what water are you drinking this morning? All the way from this corner of our auditorium, all the way across all these various sections, until we get all the way back over to this corner, you need to ask yourself, everybody in every pew, what water am I literally drinking? It's be very important. I want to give you 2 points. Point number one is Roman number one, the wrong water to drink. Let me point out to you the wrong water to drink. Bad water can do bad things to our bodies. In fact, when my wife and I remember very well when we took the Holy Land trip way back in the early 70s, when my wife and I did that trip, they told us not to drink the water in any of the Holy Land areas. Don't drink the water. It's bad for you. Drink only bottled water or bottled pop that comes from the U.S. The fear was twofold: radiation and also bacterial contaminated water. Don't drink the water. Bad water, not just any water, is not good for you. Bad water can do and will do bad things to you. It is projected that one-fourth of people, listen to this stat, that one-fourth of the people on planet Earth will die because of unsafe water. It's projected that one-fourth of the people on Earth will die someday. 30,000, listen to this stat, 30,000 people die every day from disease related to bad water. 30,000 people a day will die from diseases related to bad water. In the book of Jeremiah, go with me to Jeremiah chapter 2 in your Bible, please. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. In the book of Jeremiah, God tells His people they have no business drinking water from contaminated sources. There are two verses I want you to see. First of all, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." If you go on down to verse number 18, please, same chapter. "And now, what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt, to drink the waters of Sihor?" Question mark. "Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria, to drink the waters of the river?" He said, don't drink that contaminated water. Bad water will do bad things for you. And Jeremiah simply is telling his people they have no business drinking from contaminated sources. These were foreign sources of water that were neither reliable nor were they safe. Don't drink that water. Foreign sources of ungodly water are just as bad. Don't drink the foreign sources of wicked water, contaminated water by the world. In fact, in Exodus chapter 15, go there please, Exodus chapter 15, verse number 23. Bitter waters are waters of discouragement. Don't drink bitter waters. There's a lot of folks in churches sitting all over who are sitting there who have been drinking from the wells of bitter waters. There's a lot of folks who won't even go to church today because they have been drinking from the wells of bitter waters. You've heard it, haven't you? Hey, I won't go to church. I can't stand church people. I can't stand how some people live and look at me and condemn me when I come. They have drunk from bitter wells. Exodus says that when they came to Moses, to Meribah, they could not drink the waters of Meribah, for they were what? They were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 17 talks about stolen waters. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Life is full, ladies and gentlemen, of water that presents itself as sweet experiences. However, life lived without God soon turns bitter. In fact, life lived without God turns very bitter. I'm telling you, it seems like the stolen waters were sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. And so many folks think they're getting by with so many things. I'll do this in secret. I'll eat in secret. I'll drink. And it's so sweet. Yes, sin does look sweet at first, doesn't it? Sin does look okay at first. And the bread you eat looks like it's fine. And it looks so pleasant. But ladies and gentlemen, sin will always end up in tragedy. Because bitter waters are what you get when you drink from the devil's well. Bitter, sweet waters of discouragement. Then I thought, number two, non-quenching waters of dissatisfaction. What water are you drinking? In John chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again." You will thirst again. Is that not what Jesus said in John chapter 4? That whoever drinks of this water from this well is going to thirst again? Did you drink water yesterday? Did you have to drink water today? Do you have to? Yes, you do. Again, life is full of so-called thirst quenchers. There's all kinds of drinks out on the market anymore. One of the things that my aunt has a hard time with, she doesn't like to drink just water. How many of you folks in this building do not like to drink just water? Yeah, see, you like to have something in it. You want something to sweeten it, something to flavor it. You want something to color it. You don't want to drink just water. And she'll say, well, she said to the doctor yesterday, well, I just don't like to drink water. He said, ma'am, you need to drink water. Everybody needs to drink water. Thus the message this morning. What water are you drinking? You can drink any water. Somebody said, well, I can drink any water, can I? No, there are some waters that are very bad for you. You can't drink every kind of water. And so often today in our society, we have all these thirst-quenching drinks. But have you ever noticed about the thirst-quenching drinks? They don't quench the thirst. Have you ever noticed about that? How they don't last very long? And even though it says thirst-quenching, and you guzzle the drink, it's not long, you put the cap back on, you say, I don't know what in the world's wrong with me, and I'm thirsty. I thought that stuff was supposed to be good for you. There are some things that are advertised as thirst quenching that will never quench your thirst. The old devil has that for you, doesn't he? Ladies and gentlemen, there are lots of things that you will say, if I only had this, I would be happy. Young people have said, if I could only be 16, I would be happy. When they're finally 16, if I could only be 21, I'd be happy. And then they say, if I could only be 35 and married and have a couple kids, I would really be happy. And then they say, I don't know why I did all this. I'm so miserable. And then they say, well, by the time of my retirement, I think I'll finally be happy. thirst quenchers all the time. The world is not that the truth. The world is always offering all kinds of thirst quenchers. Hey, drink this water. Take this bottle. Do this. It'll quench your thirst. And guess what? You're still thirsty. You're still not satisfied. Jesus said, if you'll drink from my well, you'll be satisfied. The water of this world has a temporary effect, doesn't it? It has a temporary effect of enjoyment. Don't you ever tell anybody that sin is not enjoyable. Did not the writer in the book say he decided not to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? You can have the pleasure of sin for a season, but that's the problem. The pleasure of sin only lasts for a season. You're here this morning, and some of you are going to experience that. But all of your world is going to come caving in. Because you were thinking you were having such a good time. You were having such a pleasant time. And all of a sudden it came crashing in. And your life's devastated today. Somebody needs to listen to me. Because those waters are non-quenching waters of dissatisfaction that you've been drinking from. What about the poison waters of death? Go with me to Revelation chapter 8 and verse number 11. Revelation chapter 8, verse number 11. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters. There are some waters you just can't drink. They died of the waters, it says, because they were made bitter. What about the poison waters of death? To continually drink from the broken cisterns of this life will only produce one thing, folks. Death. You're not getting ahead. Oh, preacher, but I'm having the time of my life. It's all going to come crashing down on you. Death will come. A death greater than the physical awaits those who drink from the world's sources of bad water. In Revelation, go with me please one more time to the book of Revelation chapter 20. Follow me over to verse 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Do you understand what Revelation chapter 20 verse 14 and 15 is saying to you? Some of us have continually tried to drink from the broken cisterns of this life that only produce one thing, and that's death. A death greater than physical death awaits those who drink from the world's sources of bad water. You see, we're all going to die physically. But ladies and gentlemen, according to this wonderful verse of Scripture, Revelation, there is another death that everybody needs to flee from. And that's called the second death. There's coming a day, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody needs to understand this truth. That after we die physically, and everyone is going to die physically. After we die physically, we also are going to die spiritually. Or we're going to live spiritually. In fact, one day, according to verse 14, and death and hell. Death and hell. Why does it say it that way? Because death, where the body is, the grave, and hell, where the spirit is of the unsaved man. Ladies and gentlemen, when an unsaved man dies, his body goes to the grave, but his soul, his spirit immediately goes to hell, where he begins to suffer in the flames of hell. Like the rich man and Lazarus, when the rich man looked over and saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus to me across that great gulf, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented, listen, in this flame. Real flame in hell. He wanted just a little relief, but he could not get that relief. You see, the body of an unsaved man goes to the grave. That's death. His spirit goes to hell, a different category. His spirit begins to suffer already in hell. Then if you look at the next verse, number 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. After hell comes the lake of fire, where there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Everybody who is not saved will be taken. Death and hell will be brought up together and stand before God's great white throne judgment. Death where the body is, hell where the spirit is, will be coming together and stand before God at the great white throne judgment, and God will judge them by looking at the book If your name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the only way you get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life is to be saved by saying, "Oh God, forgive me of my sin. I want to be saved. I want to know Christ as my Savior, and I want to drink from the fountain of water of life." Once you do that, you're saved. But if you've never done that, if you've never followed up on that, someday your body's going to come from the grave and your spirit's going to come from hell, and you're going to stand before God back together again, body and spirit. And then God's going to say, "I don't see your name. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." And the Bible says it right here in verse number 15, does it not? "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was," and I don't take any joy in that, "cast into the lake of fire." If you'll read about the lake of fire, where there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth for eternity. That means forever and ever and ever. What water, sir, ma'am, are you drinking? It's going to be too late to ask for a drink of water in hell. It's too late to ask it in the lake of fire. The water's got to be today, right now. In Luke chapter 16, in verse 24, that's where he cried out, "Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. Send Lazarus. If the waters you're drinking from are bitter, non-quenching, and taste poison to you, you are becoming spiritually dehydrated. And when you become spiritually dehydrated, death is coming very shortly. God has declared that his people too often forsake him as the fountain of living water." Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to actually ask God to come into your heart, save you of your sin, and drink from the well of living water. Roman numeral number 2. I just talked to you for a moment about the wrong water to drink. What about what is the right water? Folks, you need to preach with me here and just praise the Lord with me. What is the right water? The right water to drink. What is the right water? Preacher, Revelation tells us the wrong water is poison. Revelation 8:11 that I brought out to you is very bitter, it's non-quenching. But what is the right water? Preachers from Texas say there's, in Houston, Texas, it's called the Heights Baptist Church. They have a drinking fountain in their church. And it produces in that church ice-cold water. It's an amazing thing. It's refreshing to drink from, they say. After coming in from the hot Texas air, and I guess it's really hot in Texas, 105, 110 sometimes. But folks come into this church and they get this fountain. It's an artesian well right in the middle of their church. Ice cold water. It's so refreshing. I thought about that well as I read that story. The humidity and the heat outside, but you come into the well. I thought, there's a spiritual artesian well too. That contains water of life and refreshment that all we need to drink so much. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a well you can drink from that's ice cold. Refreshing. It's called the wells and the water of salvation. If you turn with me to John chapter 4, please. I want to point out some verses of scripture in John chapter 4. What is the right water to drink? Well, let's go to John chapter 4 and take a look. The waters of salvation. John 4, verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Look down at verse 14 and 15, please. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." As you and I need physical waters to sustain our physical life, so we each need the spiritual living water to sustain our eternal life and refresh us. Have you drank from this well? Can you say this morning, "Whoo, preacher, I am so glad I'm saved. Every day I drink from this living well. This water is so refreshing." Are you saying, "My life's not refreshing"? I don't know what you're talking about. You're drinking from the wrong well. You're drinking the wrong water. You see, not only do you need to drink from the waters of salvation, you need to drink the waters of forgiveness. The waters of forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 tells us, let's draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed, what's it say, with pure water. The water of forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The waters of forgiveness. If we confess our sins, ladies and gentlemen, where have you been going? Why aren't you thrilled with the things of God? I'll tell you why you're not thrilled. You're drinking from the wrong water. You got the wrong well. You got the wrong supply. I'm here to report to you that shows and TV and rock music and drugs and alcohol and pornography and all that will never satisfy. If that's where you're getting satisfaction, you'll never have satisfaction. But if you come to Christ well, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the right water to drink. Though we only need to drink once from the waters of salvation, ladies and gentlemen, we come again and again to the waters of forgiveness. Listen, you don't get saved again and again and again. You come to the well of salvation once, and you get positioned in God. But I'm telling you, ever so often, you need to come back again to the wells of forgiveness. Come on, amen. Amen. Need to have forgiveness. Then number three, need the waters of rest. James chapter 3, verse 11 and verse number 12. Let's go to the book of James chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs. We, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Do you see it? James warns us that our lives should either be bring forth fresh water, not salty, bitter water. Only when we allow God to lead us beside the still waters will we be able to find true rest. Amen. I find rest beside still waters. That's the right water to drink. Waters of rest. So far we've learned something. We've learned the right waters are the waters of salvation. We've learned that the waters of forgiveness, the waters of rest, and what about this next water? The water of refreshment. That's the right water to drink. John 4, 14, but whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him, what's it say, will never thirst again. But the water that I give him will become a fountain of living water that burst up in everlasting life. Isn't that a powerful verse? But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. You won't be worried about being satisfied. Once you drink of this fountain of water, you will be satisfied. You'll never have that same thirst again. It shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Are you sure you're drinking from the right well? I'll have that experience, preacher. If you don't have the experience, it's not God's fault. God said if you drink from the well, He'll give you this water. You better make sure you're drinking from the right well. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. What's it say? In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. I love that particular verse. What's it talking about? God's water not only refreshes us, it causes us to be a refreshment to others in the name of Jesus. Not only does God's water, Brother John, refresh me, but I can go out with the water He's refreshed me with, and I can help refresh somebody else. Wasn't it a blessing this morning to have Nancy refresh us when she sang? Love lifted me. Love. That was a wonderful song to sing. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. She was refreshed by God. She'd been drinking at the well of refreshment. And she was able to refresh us this morning. I saw some of you weeping. I saw some of you with your hands raised. I noticed those things. I saw some of you saying amen. You know why? Because she brought the well of refreshment. God's water not only refreshes us, it causes us to be a refreshment to others. Here's my conclusion. If you'll follow me down to 2 Peter chapter 2. As strange as this may sound, you can actually lose weight by drinking large amounts of water. Did you know that? You who want to lose weight, start drinking large amounts of water. That's what they tell us. If your cells are getting plenty of water, they tend to store less water, so you have less water weight. It's an amazing thing. If your cells are constantly low and in danger of dehydration, they will stockpile additional supplies of water, and that will increase your weight. Using this analogy for the spiritual life, the more we drink from God's well, the more weight and the thirst of the world we'll lose. Isn't that good? Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily besets you. If you and I will drink constantly from the wells of salvation and the living waters, we'll lose the weight of sin. Wow, that's an amazing analogy. And we'll lose the thirst of the world. Without a constant and secure supply of water, life does not continue. So I'm going to ask you one more time as the musicians are coming, which source of water are you really drinking from? How happy are you this morning? How fulfilled, how successful are you in the things of God? Which well are you drinking from? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, the world's wells are of dead water. Look at the screen here. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. The world's wells are of dead water. God's wells, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, are wells of living water. What does it say? And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take what? The water of life freely. Hey, you want to have really healthy life? You got to drink from the right well. The wells of the world are dead water. The wells of God are living water. You know what I pray this morning? I pray that this church who heard this message, or those who listen by radio, I pray it is the secure water of life that only comes through Jesus Christ that you're drinking from. That's what I pray. I pray for you that you're drinking at the right well, that you're coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're coming to the well, to the right water, and you're drinking the good water. Ladies and gentlemen, please don't just drink any water. And don't just drink the world's thirst quenchers. They won't quench your thirst. You'll be in trouble again. You'll be seeking again. But you can find satisfaction at God's will. And please don't look at anybody else and say, well, I thought they were supposed to be saved. They're not very happy. They may not be saved. But you need to be saved. You need to know what well you're drawing from and what water you're drinking. Some of us have experienced that. Some of the rest of us have not. If you're here this morning and you're not saved and you're not drinking from the right water, Or maybe you are saved, but boy, you've been fooled by the devil into thinking that some of the world's thirst quenchers would help you. You found out this morning they won't help you. You want to come back to God's well and God's water. God's water of forgiveness. God's water of rest. I wonder if you'd come this morning. Let's stand together, everybody. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.